Why is a porcupine a great friend?
I don't know why.
Because she'll stick with you.
You're tuning in to the Children's Hour. This is K9.9 KUNM and KUNM.org. Live and local from the University of New Mexico.
You think you own whatever land you land on. The earth is just a dead thing you can claim. But I know every rock and tree and creature has a life, has a spirit, has a name. You think the only people who are people are the people who look and think like you. But if you walk the footsteps of a stranger, you learn things you never knew, you never knew. Have you ever heard the wolf cry to the blue corn moon? Or asked a grinning bobcat why he grinned? Can you sing with all the voices of a mountain? Can you paint with all the colors of the wind? Can you paint with all the colors of the wind? Come run the hidden pine trails of the forest. Come taste the sun, sweet berries of the earth. Come run all the riches all around you. Never once, never wonder what there were. The rainstorm and the river are my brothers. The heron and the otter are my friends. And we are all connected to each other. In a circle, in a loop that never ends. Have you ever heard the wolf cry to the blue corn moon? Or let the eagle tell you where he's been? Can you sing with all the voices of a mountain? Can you paint with all the colors of the wind? Can you paint with all the colors of the wind? How high does a sycamore grow? If you cut it down, then you'll never know. The blue corn moon, for whether we are white or copper skin, we need to sing with all the voices of the mountain. Need to paint with all the colors of the wind. You can own the earth and still all you own is earth and tin.
Ziavi, a song called Colors of the Wind from her Nightlight CD. Good morning. It's the Children's Hour right here on KUNM. And to just give you a sense of how many people can fit in a clown car or the station at KUNM. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I don't think we have enough people in here, do you?
I think we have enough.
No.
I think we need more.
I think we need like 20 more.
There are 22 people in the studio right now. Like, I'm totally not joking. And we'll start over here. Good morning to you, madam.
Good morning, Seva.
Good morning, I'm Kaya.
Hi, it's Siobhan.
Yeehaw, it's Imogen.
Hi, it's Gray.
Hello, it's Elliot.
Good morning, I'm Sienna.
Hi, I'm Corinne.
Good morning, I'm Alita.
Hi, I'm Leela.
Good morning, I'm Elena.
Good morning, I'm Jaden.
Good morning, I'm Anna.
Good morning, I'm Maggie.
Hello, I'm Gila.
Good morning, I'm Jasper.
Nice job on the joke, Jasper. That was really good. We should give him a round of applause because it's his first time ever doing that joke. I'm Katie Stone, and I'm so happy to be with everyone this morning on the Children's Hour. And we're talking about something. It's kind of sticky, kind of pokey. What is it?
It's a porcupine!
I love porcupines. If you're a longtime listener of the Children's Hour, we had Mr. Shaw and some of his students on the show all the way back in 2013, and now it is 2017. And Mr. Shaw, who's in the studio with us, hi, Mr. Shaw. You can just shout out, hi.
Good morning.
Yep, Mr. Shaw is the Middle Rio Grande Valley's porcupine expert. And I don't know, have any of you seen porcupines hiking around? Yeah?
Yeah.
What do they look like?
I have.
Somebody tell me what they look like. Imogen, tell me what they look like.
So they're like this big.
Wait, you have to go to the microphone, Imogen.
They're like this big bone, and they look like they're all shaggy and pokey.
Yeah. Anyone else? Yeah. Well, yeah.
Oh, they look like a little brown thing that looks like a lump on a tree.
Oh, yeah? Yeah.
They've got, like, little monkey faces.
Yeah. They're super cute, don't you think?
Like, you know those, like, things that you put the sewing needles into?
Yes.
And that's what happens when you fill it up completely. It magically becomes a porcupine.
That's where they come from. That's like the porcupine stork?
Yes, that's the porcupine spawner.
I see.
Spawns them.
Spawning of porcupines. Yeah.
They look like stuffed animals in a tree.
Yes. I always think, Ava.
Once I was at the aquarium and I saw a porcupine up in the grapevine and they said it lived there and it was taking its nap.
Aww. You know, when I've seen porcupines too, it's funny, when we had Mr. Shaw on the show back in 2013, I had never ever seen a porcupine in the valley. And I live in the valley and I walk in the valley every single day and I'd never seen one. And after having Mr. Shaw on the show, everything changed for me. And I hope for our listeners it changes too, because now when I walk in the bosque, I see porcupines all the time. Like, now I know how to look for them and find them, especially in the winter. So I want to make sure all our listeners get that chance too. And any of you in the studio here who have not seen one yet, you will know how, because they're everywhere. You know, I hear a rumor you're always 3 feet away from a spider at any moment in life, which is kind of freaky as you look around the studio here.
That's scary.
Yeah, but you know, you're also only like a quarter mile away from a porcupine.
I bet I'm
totally making that up. I don't know how many porcupines there
are. I bet in the universe of superheroes in New York, I bet a lot of people who are near Spider-Man all the time.
Ooh.
Just looking, it's like, oh, there's a red dot flying through the air. That must be Spider-Man.
Are we ready for a sticky show?
I don't know. I guess so, yeah.
This show's going to stick with you for the rest of the day. I hope you stick with us. This is the Children's Hour.
Puns.
Should we say one more good morning to everyone? This is Children's Hour on KUNM. Ready?
Good morning!
Troubled side of life. There's a bright and a sunny side too. Though we meet with the darkness and strife, a sunny side we also may view. Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way. If you keep on the sunny side of life.
crushing hopes that we cherish so dear. Clouds and storms will in time pass away, and the sun again will shine bright and clear. Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day, it will brighten all the way, if you keep on the sunny side of life.
It's pretty sunny up here at KUNM today in Albuquerque, New Mexico. You're tuned to the Children's Hour right here on KUNM, KUNM.org. And that was Bayou Seco, New Mexico's own, now out of Silver City, from their CD Sunnyside. In the studio is a very, very special guest who's been here before, but we just love him and the work he's doing and his two student experts with him as well. Mr. Dan Shaw is a teacher at Bosque Prep here in Albuquerque. And also, he's part of BEMP, which is the Bosque Ecosystem Monitoring Project. And that there's so much to say about you, Mr. Shaw, and how you've been studying porcupines of the Bosque and Rio Grande Valley for two decades. You are the expert of the Rio Grande Valley Porcupine Association, and I'm sure they're grateful because you have educated so many people about porcupines. Welcome to the Children's Hour, first of all.
Thanks so much for having us. And my two students that I'm with here today are eighth graders from Bosque School, and those are Jaden and Elena. And they have been working with us on our porcupine project for 3 years, but I have some students that have been working with us for more than 5 years on all different aspects of porcupines in the Bosque.
Hi, Elena.
Hi.
And hi, Jaden. Nice to have our experts here. And I would really like it if you just start out, you know, the kids talked a little bit about porcupines, but really, like most of us, we confuse porcupines with possums. I had a listener tell me, are you covering possums or porcupines? I always mix them up. They're not even related, I assume.
They're not.
Talk to us about the species porcupine, especially the one that lives here in along the Rio Grande.
Okay, so the porcupines that we have here are the North American porcupine. They're pretty much the only porcupine species that's in, like I said, North America. So yeah, they're just kind of the...
And they're the second largest?
The second largest in...
The second largest rodent that we have in North America. So the beaver come in first, they're around 75 pounds, and then our porcupines show up at about what?
About 15 pounds.
Yeah. So wow. About the size of a pug in terms of weight. Yeah.
Are they, like if you were to hug a porcupine, not wise, but if you were to hug a porcupine, is it soft under all those quills? Like a rodent?
Well.
Might be if I petted rodents.
They have like two or three different kinds of quills. So the longer ones that are thinner and kind of softer and more like hair are the ones that keep them warmest during the winter. And then the sharper ones, I can't remember what they're...
So the actual quills themselves.
The actual quills themselves are the ones that people most know them for. So the long, thin ones are the ones that make them look kind of fluffy.
So like any mammal, they have hair. Mm-hmm. And the porcupine has about 30,000 quills across its back and tail. And if you pet it just under the chin, it's as soft as a horse's nose. So they really have a soft underbelly. And if you're a mountain lion, that's what you're going for if you're trying to catch one to eat. And porcupines do actually get eaten by predators.
Wow, it's hard to believe. They're so, I mean, wow, you have to be really brave predator to do that. Yeah.
Are there a lot of porcupines in the bosque?
So there's been 78 individual captures in the bosque, and there's been 78 individual quill samples.
And so what we've, and to answer your question a little bit more, so those are the actual animals that we've worked with up close, those dozens and dozens of porcupines. But you can find one. Katie was pretty much right. When you're in the bosque, you're pretty much always within a quarter mile of a...
No way, that was real?
Yeah, that's about right. Because a home range of a porcupine is just a couple soccer fields big. And
really?
So,
their whole life?
We have some areas of the bosque where you can have, in 100 acres, you can have 25 porcupines. We've documented that. So, yeah, pretty much porcupines are everywhere in the bosque.
Unbelievable.
And for those of you who are just a little bit further outside of Albuquerque, the bosque is that riverside forest that comes along the Rio Grande. And within our Bosque Ecosystem Monitoring Program, we have 31 different monitoring sites from Las Cruces up through the northern Pueblos, where we track environmental change across time, including what's going on for porcupines and their habitat.
They're fine, though. They're not endangered, it sounds like.
No, ma'am. They're pretty safe, doing fine.
We're speaking with Mr. Dan Shaw. He's from Bosque School, and he is with two of his student experts, Elena and Jaden. And we're so delighted that you're on the Children's Hour with us today. Mr. Shaw, I've always wanted to honor you and your incredible work that you've done to help us all understand how misunderstood these rodents are. And so I asked my friend Seth Hoffman. Good morning, Seth.
Good morning, Katie.
I asked my friend Seth Hoffman if he would do me a little favor and write something for you, Mr. Shaw. This is for you.
Are you ready? A porcupine is a friend of mine. Climbs with ease to the tops of the trees. Got pointy quills, survival skills. Let the sun shine on a porcupine today. Hey, hey. Sha-la-la-la-la-la. Porcupines live across the land. You may have seen one in the bosque by the Rio Grande. At first they kind of look like a big bird's nest, but it's really a porcupine taking a rest. A porcupine is a friend of mine. Climbs with ease to the tops of the trees. Got pointy quills, survival skills. Let the sun shine on a porcupine today. Hey, hey. Sha-la-la-la-la-la. Dan Shaw's been known to study. He's an animal expert and a porcupine buddy. He's been teaching about them for so long. Figured he deserves a porcupine song. A porcupine's a friend of mine. Climbs with ease to the tops of the trees. Got pointy quills, survival skills. Let the sun shine on a porcupine today. Hey, hey. Sha-la-la-la-la-la. Porcupine.
That was awesome. Seth Hoffman in our studio live. Dan Shaw, Mr. Shaw, we appreciate you.
Oh, well, thank you so much, and thanks for all the students here in the studio and also out in the bosque, keeping our environment clean and healthy for the next generations, and that we're being good ancestors for those that will come after us.
We're going to learn a lot more about porcupines of the bosque with our special guest, Dan Shaw, and his students, Elena and Jaden. But we're going to go to this really quick and then come right back. This is the band Artichoke.
If a little porcupine was trying to be your friend, would you run away or would you understand that he's covered up with spines, with sharpened ends? But maybe that was not the body he'd have planned. He's a member of a race seeking shelter from the predators who wanna eat him up. Give a porcupine his space, or you'll suffer. They are friendly, but it's better not to touch. Heed this warning when you're making friends with porcupines. Heed this warning, or you're picking out the sharpened spines.
Stand back, you're too close.
If a little porcupine was trying to be your friend, would you run away or would you understand that he's covered up with spines?
That he's covered up
with sharpened ends, but maybe that was not the body he'd have planned. He's a member of a race, seeking shelter from the predators that wanna eat him up. Give a porcupine his space, or you'll suffer. They are friendly, but it's better not to touch. Heed this warning when you're making friends with porcupines. Heed this warning, or you're picking out the sharpened spines.
You're listening to the Children's Hour. This is KD9.9 KUNM and KUNM.org. Live and local from the University of New Mexico.
I'm Katie Stone, and a whole crew of kids are in the studio with me, and some student experts from Bosque School with their teacher, Mr. Dan Shaw. Elena and Jaden have been studying porcupines for quite a while now. And why porcupines? Tell us how you got into this.
Well, we started in the sixth grade mastery project, actually. And we were just looking for something, a project to do that was very involved with the environment and how we wanted to kind of make the Bosque a better place for a lot of the animals. And so we talked to Mr. Shaw, and he said that the biggest problem for porcupines is dogs in the Bosque. And so we decided to get involved in that and do some research, and we decided to go out and catch a couple
In the mastery project, we had a group that we wanted to do something that was really involved in the Rio Grande community, and we wanted to do something about animals, and so we were very conflicted between what animal we should pick, and we went to the expert of all animals in the Rio Grande, and so we talked to Mr. Shaw, and he made a great option or opinion for us to do a porcupine project. And so the whole project was around bringing awareness about the conflict between dogs and porcupines.
Now, how about that conflict? Who's going after who in that, or whom in that situation?
So dogs that are not on leashes in the Bosque are very interested in porcupines, and sometimes it's not a very good thing, and they go and interest into the porcupine, and the porcupine is very scared, and it has a defense signal, and the dog makes contact with the porcupine, the quills get on the dog.
But wait, does it, you know, we have this vision of porcupines, like they get all poofed up with all their quills out, so they do give a warning, and then they shoot them, right? Like, is that what happens? How does it work?
That is a myth. Porcupines can't actually shoot their quills. It's like hair. We can't shoot our hair like a gun or lasers or whatever. So basically I think where the myth comes from is that, like Jaden said, they have a kind of a distress signal, like king cobras. Kind of they fan out their cheeks to make themselves look bigger and more impressive
And so then that porcupine is giving the defense signal. The carnivore, which is which in this equation?
The dog
is the carnivore, going after the vegetarian. And so when people say that my dog was attacked by a porcupine, what's really going on there?
Oh, no, I can tell you, because my dog, we had a porcupine in our yard. I mean, in my defense, it was nighttime, and we thought it was a raccoon, which was really common, at night in our yard. And so we said to our beautiful little sweet dog, go get him. Because, you know, usually if the dog runs after the he doesn't actually, he's small, so he doesn't actually kill the raccoon, but he chases it off, which is all we wanted, you know, chase it off. Well, then we were like, no, wait, wait. Because as the flashlight got on the porcupine, we realized what a mistake. And the dog went right up to the porcupine and he got the quills in the back of his throat and everything. And he actually pays for it to this day. He has a very different bark as a result of that because it hurt him.
And these girls did some investigations as part of their mastery project, their inquiry project at Bosque School, and found out the cost for that for families when their dogs do get caught by run-ins with porcupines. What does that look like?
So we, me and Elena spoke to a vet in New Mexico, and she told us that the surgery without the medication and everything is usually $500. But with medication and supervision and surgery, and depending on how many quills they got in their mouth or in their body, it costs a lot.
It's like $500 to $1,000 at least.
So one of the key lessons you were trying to do with your mastery project at Bosque School was teach people to do what with their dogs?
To keep them on a leash, because if they're not on a leash, they're going to run after whatever they find interesting.
That's really true. And also, you know, for folks who hike down in the Bosque a lot with their dogs off leash, it's not just porcupines who are hassled by dogs. It's actually sometimes even other dogs and people. And you know, it's really, you're right. There's a rule for a reason, just like so many rules.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How do you tag a porcupine?
Oh, yes. We're all curious. You all have tagged porcupines. And we all can't understand how you would even get close enough to a porcupine to touch it, more or less tag it. How does that work?
So first we set a trap in the tree or on the ground around the tree with some berries and peanut butter and things like that inside. And the trap does not hurt them in any way. It's just it keeps them a little contained so that we can do what we do.
We actually set the traps alongside trees that are, we actually observe a porcupine that is roosting in that tree. And porcupines roost in trees during the day. And sometimes they'll stay in the same tree for a long, long time. But they'll come down. So we have one porcupine. She stayed in one particular tree for 6 weeks solid, never even left it once. So sometimes you set the trap and the porcupine stays up in the tree and never comes down, or not never, but it takes a long time.
What are they doing in the tree? I see them and they just look like a hawk nest. I've stopped thinking that everything is a hawk nest, and now I'm always like, that's no hawk nest, that's a porcupine. What are they doing in there when they're sitting there? Because they don't move very much.
Well, that's because you're watching them as an animal that's generally nocturnal. So if it's mostly active during the night, when you see it during the day, it's sleeping. And so when we have our Bosque Ecosystem Monitoring Program students out at all of our Bosque sites, they'll often see a porcupine sitting up in a tree, and they'll go, what's going on? We look with binoculars, and you can see that its eyes are shut, and it's sleeping. The porcupine sometimes opens its eyes and looks it down at the group of students underneath, but most of the time hardly pays any attention at all and continues sleeping. So sleeping is what you're seeing most of all. Sometimes they'll feed, though.
Are porcupines endangered?
They're not endangered in any way. They're quite abundant across all of North America, but there's very little known about them here in the Southwest, which is one of the furthest southern areas of where that you can find them. So that's a lot of our BEMP work, our Bosque Ecosystem Monitoring Program work around porcupines, has been to better understand this misunderstood animal here in the Southwest, where it's much more known its habits in New York and places like that back east, where there's been a lot more research.
When you put the radio collars on the porcupines, do you get to pet them? I know that seems like a really dumb question, but like, none of us have ever petted a porcupine. So what's that like? Have you touched them?
Yes. Yeah. So the vet usually sedates the animal, and so the animal is not in full sedation, but it's in a state where they're not going to attack or bite or accidentally run away or do something while we are trying to do the tests. But we have really big gloves and we pet them, but sometimes it gets bad. You get quills in your hands. She got a quill in her stomach.
You did?
I did.
Ow. Wow.
It ended up on her sweater, which then worked its way in, and then it got plucked out. So it happens. But porcupines actually have a natural antibiotic on them to prevent things like gram-positive, things like tetanus and problems like that. So what you end up with is porcupines quill themselves from time to time. So there's no advantage to getting an infection from your own quill. So you can pull them out and clean up, and it's fine. But everything we do is under supervision of a veterinarian and humane and ethical, going through an animal care and use approval process and keeping the students as safe as possible as well as the porcupine.
Yeah, Imogene.
Does it hurt the porcupine to release its quills?
Not really. It's more like if you think about when you lose hair when you're brushing it. If you got a tangle in there, it might feel probably like that as it pulls away. But most of the time, it's pretty loose. And you can actually, this is true, you can hold a porcupine by its tail and it will not release the quills because it's not forceful enough to disengage the. So I don't recommend trying that, but it is physically possible not to have quills end up in your hand
Do the quills, do they like our own hair? Do they replace the quills that they lose?
No, it's an adapted form of hair. It's a keratin based.
But you're saying that question over here. But let me just quickly ask: the interactions between dogs and porcupines. Odds are it doesn't kill the porcupine, but sometimes the dogs can bite them and hurt them really bad. Is that what happens?
Well, dogs can kill porcupines and they, but nobody comes out ahead on that. The dog's not going to eat it. So it's not food. So it's taken away a food maybe from one of our normal predators of the bulsky, like great horned owls might. They do sometimes eat porcupines and other. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm giving him this like no way look.
Best
because
way.
Can you imagine? I mean, I'm just thinking, can you imagine a great horned owl attacking a porcupine? I cannot imagine it. That is wow. That is really something. Mm-hmm. How do they not get stuck? Anyway, okay, get over here.
In the inside of the porcupine's quills, is it poison?
No, it's not poison at all. Just the opposite. What's on the outside of the quill is kind of a protective, like a little neosporin, like we put on a cut. Yeah. And so it has like that. And the inside of a porcupine quill, guess what's in there?
What?
Nothing. It's hollow.
They're hollow.
And so 30,000 quills, porcupines are great swimmers. They're wearing 30,000 little life jackets on their body. And so when they swim across the Rio Grande, they are floating across the surface. And they'll swim out to the islands and sometimes pull out the growing salt cedar and eat the roots of the salt cedar, the exotic tree that's growing in the bosque.
If there was one thing that you all wish everyone in listener land knew about porcupines, or if there's a couple things you want to impart to our listeners about porcupines, tell us what that is.
They're majestical animals. There's really nothing that is really understood by them. They're like sharks. They're very misunderstood, and people beg them as a dangerous animal, but they're quite nice. They're very lovely. If any of you seen like a video of them eating carrots, they're really cute.
The number one thing for me is they are aware of you, but they're not necessarily afraid of you unless they give you a reason. Like Mr. Shaw said, if they see you, they'll probably just go back into their, like, sleeping state in the daytime. So there's really nothing dangerous about them, per se, if you're not doing something to you or your pet is not doing something to harm them.
But if folks are interested in learning more about our Bulsky Ecosystem Monitoring Program or our work with porcupines, there's a couple opportunities even today over at Valle de Oro. They're having their Migration and Music Festival from 1 to 4 p.m., and BEMP will have a table there. That's at 7851 2nd Street Southwest from 1 to 4 p.m. And then this afternoon.
That's today?
That's today.
Wow.
And then also this afternoon, I'll be speaking again at the Open Space Visitor Center at 6500 Coors as part of their Sandhill Crane Celebration, which is going on all day. Right now, people are doing Tai Chi with the cranes, and we'll have more information. Or if you want, you can just go to our website, bimp.org. It's pretty easy. And we're a partner with the University of New Mexico Department of Biology and the Bosque School. And it's a grand adventure in learning about the Bosque. And we're a citizen science effort that gets 8,000 to 10,000 kids involved in studying and caring for the Bosque every year. And porcupines is just one of many, many ways that we look at how we care for the Rio Grande that we all drink from and need for our own survival, and how we can be good ancestors to the generations that show up after us.
I love it. Really quick, Mr. Shaw, right before we went on the air, I told you about a porcupine that lives in my backyard and has been there for a couple of years. It's always there. I want to just know, for those of us who have seen the porcupines in the at the river, which now hopefully all the listeners will go take a hike wherever they are in New Mexico down by the river and look for porcupines, what's their territory? My little guy who lives in the tree behind me, how far does
you,
it go?
You can find porcupines stay, they have site fidelity, so they'll stay in one area just of a couple acres size, so just about the size of a couple soccer fields. But the females tend to be the ones that move out and spread out. Males tend to stay kind of closer in. They'll overlap habitat with each other, and they're, although solitary animals, they certainly can be found all over New Mexico, including out on the plains, out by Valencia.
You mean they're not just at the river?
Valencia County. Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
No, they're all over the state. If there's vegetation, they're present. Where they tend to not be very present tends to be where there are mountain lions, because that's its primary predator here in New Mexico.
So up on the top of the Sandias, you're not going to see as many porcupines as down in the Bosque.
No.
Interesting. Ava, yeah.
Is there a certain height that they go in the trees?
They'll go all the way up to a tree, and you figure our largest porcupine weighed in at around 20 pounds, and it was on a branch that was as big around as, I'm looking at you, about your thumb, and it was wobbling around up on that top branch. So they get way high up on tiny little branches, and about a quarter of porcupines will at some time during their life break a leg because they fall out of a tree.
Wow. Poor babies.
And then they heal up. And I mean, if we ask the kids in this room how many of them have broken an arm or a leg,
yeah,
you know, it might be one in four, too. And they seem to be doing just fine, right?
That's a good point. Yeah. And they recover.
Everything's a good point with porcupines.
Mr. Dan Shaw, and he is a teacher at Bosque School and part of the Bosque Ecosystem Monitoring Project, otherwise known as BEMP. BEMP.org has lots of information on these and other critters of the Bosque. And we have loved speaking with you and Elena and Elena and Jaden. And thank you all so much for being with us in the Children's Hour. Advice to seeing a porcupine today, if we're all going on a hike by the river, what should we do?
Well, one awesome thing that you can do is take some pictures, because that's really... A cool thing to remember it by.
It's a great idea just to watch them at a distance. So always keeping your distance from any wild animal is a good plan. And being out in the Bosque is a good way to celebrate and remember our veterans here on Veterans Day, people like my father who served in World War II. So just want to acknowledge that today is a great day to be outside and being grateful for some of the freedoms and opportunities we have in this country for the veterans who've served.
Isn't that right? That is so right. Yes, happy Veterans Day to all. And you're listening to the Children's Hour right here on KUNM. Mr. Dan Shaw, Elena, and Jaden, thank you so much for
thank
being
you.
With us on
thank
the Children's Hour
us.
This morning. It's been great to have you.
Hi. I'm a big and look good.
Al pon pon, que duro tortugón. Al pin pin, picoso puerco espín. Con su amigo.
sticking with you. 'Cause I'm made out of glue. Anything that you might do, I'm gonna do too. You held up a stagecoach in the rain, and I'm doing the same. So tree, and I made believe it was me.
I'm sticking with you, 'cause I'm made out of glue. Anything that you might do, I'm gonna do too.
Go into the stratosphere.
Soldiers fighting with the Kong.
But with you by my side, I can do anything. When we swing, we hang past right and wrong. I'll do anything. Anything you want me to, I'll do anything for you. Oh, oh, I'm sticking with you. Oh, oh, I'm sticking with you.
It's time for the Kids Come Birthday Club.
Kids in the birthday club get a greeting on the air and a gift in the mail.
Happy birthday if today is your birthday.
Turning 4 years old tomorrow, Liam Monroe is celebrating in Albuquerque.
Happy birthday, Liam.
And Adia Randcliffe is turning 11 years old tomorrow in Albuquerque.
Happy birthday, Adia.
And Arundhati Satpathy from
Arundhati Satpathy.
From Albuquerque is turning 6 years old on Tuesday.
Happy birthday, Arundhati.
Kids 12 and younger can join the KUNM Kids Birthday Club by emailing KUNMKids at KUNM.org with name, birthday, and postal mail address.
Find our playlists and podcasts on the Children's Hour page at KUNM.org. You can also find the Children's Hour Radio on iTunes.
See photos from today's and many other shows on our Facebook page at Children's Hour Radio.
We're also on Twitter at KUNMKids.
The Children's Hour is produced by Katie Stone out of the studios of KUNM-FM in Albuquerque, New Mexico.